Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Thanks so much for listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. My name is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas, and we are going to continue this morning in our series about forgiveness. We've been talking about God and forgiveness, and we need to remember that when it comes to forgiveness, the focus needs to be on God. God is the one that has been sinned against. God is the one that we all have sinned against and have rejected or ignored or neglected to a greater or lesser degree. But the bottom line is that the scripture tells us very clearly that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We remember that sin is breaking God's law, basically God's character and who He is. And so we realized that the only way that God can truly forgive us is if His justice is met. In other words, once sin has been committed, the penalty of sin has to be paid. And so God has to be just, and yet He loves us so much that He wants to forgive us. He wants to justify us. And this is what we talked about last week, that Jesus is that bridge. He's the mediator, if you were, between God and man. And it's only through Jesus that God can be just and also justify us. This is called grace. This is what grace is all about, that God has chosen to forgive us by allowing His own Son, whom He sent to us, to pay the penalty for our sins by His death on the cross, His suffering of our sins while He was there, that He would have suffered eternally, as it were, because He's an eternal being, and yet tasting death as a human being for us, and then rising on the third day to break the power of death. This is all good news. This is all good news, that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what Jesus told His apostles to go out into all the world and preach. He said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore go," or "as you go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's the great commission that He gave to His apostles that they were in turn to teach others about. We need to be reminded that it's through the gospel that God calls people to salvation. In other words, through the gospel message that began with the apostles and has since continued on, and even now in 2016, those who are disciples, followers, whose Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ, it's our privilege to share that good news even to today. And so Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he reminds the church there, "We always ought to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, so it's through the gospel message, it's through the good news about Jesus that God calls us to share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed. And oh, how we need to be reminded of that all the time, that salvation is God's doing. It's not ours. Salvation is something that God wrought with his own right hand, if you were. It's something that God planned. It's something that God purposed. And it's only when God is the one that actually brings about the salvation in our life that we can know that we're truly saved. Let me give you a for instance. Back in John chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Now listen to how Jesus replies to him. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. In other words, he knew why Nicodemus had come, and he's telling him, listen, Nicodemus, you know, I know you're really here about the kingdom of God. You want to know what it's all about because you've heard the message that John the Baptist had been preaching. You've heard the message that I and my disciples have been preaching, and you want to know what this repent because the kingdom of God is near. And Jesus just tells him, I'll tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again or literally born from above. In other words, you can't cause yourself to be born again, and I can't either, but God can. And Nicodemus took what he said in a literal, physical way. Listen to how he responds, verse 4. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. And so he's reminding Nicodemus of the things that John taught, that you needed to repent and turn back to God, and you needed to quit for Nicodemus and the Jews that John was preaching to and Jesus and his disciples were preaching, that they needed to listen to that message. And that message was they needed to repent and be baptized. John immersed everyone that came repenting and turning away from their life of sin and saying, hey, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be ready for the Messiah. And so only God can cause people to be born again. Only the way of righteousness is through God. In other words, John's message was God's way of righteousness to prepare people for Jesus. Well, now that Jesus has come and died and was buried and rose from the dead, we don't follow the same message as John preached or even that Jesus preached. We follow one similar, but now the message is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, when we're baptized in the name of Jesus, which is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's not the names of, it's the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we're baptized in the name of Jesus, then we can be saved. And we can know that it's not us that's doing it, it's God that's doing it. Turn over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. This goes right along with what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. But Titus chapter 3 was written by Paul to Titus to let them know about us now. He says, in verse 3 of Titus 3, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, that's Jesus, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, because of his grace. He goes on to say, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. I'll tell you, that's good news. And what we have to remember is that it's God, through what Jesus did, through the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out on us, that we can be justified from our sin. That's why Romans 10 says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, you can't call upon yourself. You can't call upon anything else. You got to call upon the name of the Lord. That's why in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it's recorded for us that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Okay? Peter understood that, and Peter proclaimed that message in Acts chapter 2, the first time that the gospel had been presented. We've already shared this once, but let's look again in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord. You see, it was God that did what needed to be done. It was Jesus who was willing to lay down his life for us. And it says in verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he pleaded with them and warned them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You see, it's not difficult to call on the name of the Lord. It's not complex. It's just a matter of believing the truth of the gospel and turning in your mind and in your life and in your actions away from sin and toward Christ, and then being willing to, in faith, be baptized into Christ. And you see, this is something that is done by men. Okay, baptism is a passive act. And when we're baptized in water by someone, it's at that time that we call upon the name of the Lord. It's at that time that the Holy Spirit comes in the washing of renewal and regeneration and cleanses us from our sins, because he applies what Jesus did for us on the cross to our own personal life. Now, I know that's a lot to say in a short time, but that's the truth. That's the good news of the gospel. You see, Paul reminded them of that in Romans 6 when he said, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? He said, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, in Ephesians 4 and 4, it says that there's one Lord, one faith, one hope, one baptism. Okay? There's only one baptism, and that's the baptism that Jesus gave his apostles to go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when men baptize a penitent, believing spirit or soul, person, then at that moment, that's when the Holy Spirit comes and cleanses us of our sins. He renews us. He raises us up to walk in newness of life. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, before he did his work in our life, he couldn't come into our life because it was still overrun with sin and death. But when we responded in faith to the good news, then through all of those things, God raises us up to walk in newness of life. Let's take a look at one more verse over in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and starting in verse 9. Paul reminds the Colossians of what they've already done. He says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the flesh, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men. Okay, just like Jesus told Nicodemus, not by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. And when did that happen? Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. You see, baptism is just as much a response to God's amazing grace as believing the truth in the first place, repenting of our sins and turning away from the empty way of life and belief in God that we had before. It's about confessing Christ as Lord and Savior and not running away or being ashamed of that. It's also about being baptized into Christ, because that's where God does his amazing work of grace in our life. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, it's what Ananias told Paul after he had come to him and laid his hands on him and the scales fallen off his eyes and he received his sight again. Ananias told him, starting in verse 14 of Acts 22, then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." So where do we call on the name of the Lord? Well, we call on it ultimately in baptism as we respond to God's amazing grace. It's what Peter also said in 1 Peter chapter 3 when he says, starting in verse 18, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." You see, it was Jesus who made it possible for us to be brought to God. And it goes on to say, "He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge or the appeal of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him." You see, baptism by itself would be worthless. It would be just getting wet. But having faith in the power of God and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, baptism becomes this awesome picture of our own death, burial, and resurrection with Christ, as the Holy Spirit does his work in our life to raise us to walk in newness of life, just as he did with Jesus. What an amazing gospel. What an amazing picture. What amazing grace that it's not because we're good. It's not because we responded so perfectly or wonderfully. Some people have put that decision off most of their life. You know, maybe you're here this morning listening to me and you've never really responded to God. You know in your heart that you've never said, "I'm truly going to follow Jesus. I know who he is, but you know, I've wanted to live my own life. I've wanted to do my own thing, but maybe now is the day of salvation. Today is the day you say, hey, I'm going to quit living for me and I'm going to start following Jesus. I'm going to accept God's grace through Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe the truth. I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to confess his name. I will be baptized into Christ and let God raise me up to walk in newness of life." I hope you'll do that starting today. I hope you'll start pursuing that. And hey, if you don't understand the things that we've taught this morning, I want to encourage you. Get on our website and write us or call our phone number here at the church building, 702-876-3499, and ask questions. I had a lady the other day that called and wanted to know about having her baby baptized. Well, I called her back and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I don't know exactly what the situation, but I can just tell you from scripture, your baby doesn't need to be baptized. And it wouldn't do any good if it was, because the baby doesn't have any faith. It's only when a person has faith in the good news that they can truly, by faith, be baptized, and God will raise them up to walk in newness of life." She never called me back, and I wish she would. And so I pray that as we listen to this first song, "Your Name" by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, that you will realize it's only through the name of Jesus that we can be saved, that we continue to be saved, that ultimately we will be saved. It's by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so let's listen to this song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, Your Name. Back this morning, and I want you to know that it's so good to stand on the promises of God. Remember back in Acts chapter 2 when Peter said, "The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." You see, salvation is about a promise. It's about a covenant that God extends to us in the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's not for us to say, well, you know, I don't like that. I think we need to make some tweaks and we need to make some changes. And you know, I want salvation based on this rather than that. God says, no deal. We're not in any position to bargain with God or argue with God or compromise with God. God extends the offer of his grace through Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we have to accept it by faith We have to respond to God's grace, not the way we feel like, but the way God shows us how to respond, to show that we truly are willing to submit our will to His will. And once we have done that, then we can know, we can have great confidence that our salvation is not because we're so good, but because God's so good. But it must be in the power of God, and we must know that it was in the power of God, not in and of ourselves. I want to remind you again, you can't forgive yourself. You can't forgive yourself. I can't forgive myself. I hear a lot of times where people say, well, you need to forgive yourself. Really, where does it say that in the scripture? It does not say that anywhere in the Bible that you need to forgive yourself. In fact, you can't forgive yourself. So why do people feel like they need to forgive themselves? Because they don't understand the gospel. That's why. They don't understand it, or they're not standing on the promises of it. Because when you're standing on the promises of the gospel, you can know you've been saved. You can know that your sins are forgiven. If you're going around, well, I don't know if I was really forgiven or not. I'm still feeling guilty about my sin. Well, then you haven't accepted God's forgiveness. Okay? And you need to do that, because otherwise you're going to live in eternal insecurity. And God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to know. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. At the end of his short letter, John says some way powerful things in 1 John. But here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, can we really know whether we're going to heaven or not? Like, yes, absolutely. We can know as far as we can determine in our own mind, in our own faith, that yes, we are saved. We are in Christ. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we've responded to God's grace through God's promises, and that way I can know that I'm saved. All right? Hey, we're going to continue to talk about this next week. It's not enough to just be saved. We need to continue to be saved. And we need to continue to be saved, not by our own goodness, but by the grace of God through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk more about that next week. But hey, thanks so much for listening this morning. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to have you come and worship with us. We're the church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Desert Inn and Spring Mountain. The actual cross street is Decatur and Pioneer. But anyway, we meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and also Wednesday evening we have a Bible study and prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. So any of those times be a great time for you to come and hear the truth and ask questions. We want people to know. We want people to understand. We don't believe anyone should be ignorant or misunderstanding of the gospel. And so we'd love to answer your questions. So come and visit us, please. You can also visit our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com. That's thechurchatlasvegas.com, all one thing. And you can find out more about us there. You can find out what you're looking for and listen to messages. And again, you can use that as an opportunity to ask questions through there. So we really ask and pray that you will consider these things carefully, that you'll be a Berean and study these things for yourself to find out that they're true. And until we meet again, either in person or over the radio, I just want to encourage you to keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, because it's only in that name, it's only on that foundation, it's only through His shed blood and by God's grace that we can be saved. It's God's power, not ours. We are just called to respond to it. And I hope you've done that today. And if not, I hope that you will. Thanks so much for listening this week.